How many pastors take time for to talk to the children and make the grown-ups wait? Maybe that should happen more often. Grace and peace, dear friends in Christ, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week we heard Jesus ask his disciples that million-dollar question: who do people say that I am? It seems like it might be the kind of question that only Jesus could ask. Jesus or some other one-name person, like Gandhi, or Hercules, or Beyonce. But in reality, it's a question that we all ask each other, or at least we ask ourselves. What do people say about me? Do they say good things or bad things? Who am I in the eyes of people in my workplace, my family, school, church? It's not an easy question to ask. Sometimes we'd rather not know the answer. Often we think that the answer is going to be different or worse than we'd like it to be. We look in the mirror and we ask ourselves, am I good enough? We find a quiet moment with a close friend. Do people really like me? I suppose it's possible that Jesus had some of these same questions on his mind. He was human, after all. Maybe he really did wonder what people were saying about him. Because in truth, there were a bunch of people who had some really negative things to say about Jesus. Already people were out to squash these ideas that he was talking about, ideas like love for one another and inclusion for even the ones considered unclean. I mean, Jesus was only a few days old when Herod wanted to kill him, only because some foreigners thought that he might be a king. I used to want to be famous. I think we all did at some point. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be a rock star. Sing and play in a rock and roll band, thousands of screaming fans. Or maybe a Hollywood actor. The leading role in all the blockbuster movies. Of course, fame isn't all it's made out to be. People are always expecting you to be something that you're not. In the most extreme cases, paparazzi follow you around and hound you until they snap a photo of you in the most uncompromising position. And public speakers can't say anything without someone taking their words out of context. And in today's world of 24-hour news and social media that records every minute of our lives, it's a wonder that any of us have any self-esteem at all. No, it's a dangerous question. What are people saying about me? When Jesus asked this question of his disciples, it's possible he was really wrestling with the implication of who he was. Because he knew, even without divine foreknowledge, the repercussion of what it is to be called king or prophet. Not to mention the bombshell that Peter drops: you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's no wonder he tells his disciples to keep their mouths shut about this thing. Anyone with a title like that is bound to have a target on their back. And so Jesus gets right after it. He doesn't waste any time, not with the disciples. Let's keep this to ourselves. Let's not let this cat out of the bag yet. You know, it's kind of a shame that we break up the Bible into the texts that we do sometimes. Last week, Jesus receives Peter's declaration about him as the Messiah, and he commends Peter. He says, good job, this knowledge has come to you not by diligent research and careful deduction, but rather from heaven itself. Only the breath of God could have put those words in your mouth, Jesus says to Peter. And then he tells them not to tell another soul what they have just heard. He says, don't tell anyone about this thing about me being the Messiah. And we always wonder, why the heck is that? Why does Jesus tell them to be silent? And that's the last verse of last week's reading. That's what we're left with last Sunday. But in order to understand that line about Jesus telling his disciples to keep quiet about this whole Messiah thing, you really need to hear the message that he gives them in today's reading. Why doesn't Jesus want this word about him being the Messiah out there in the open? Because what he says will come from it all is exactly what's going to happen. Jesus tells them, he doesn't just tell them, it becomes the entirety of everything that he teaches from here on forward. He says, the person understood to be the Messiah will undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. The fact that Jesus adds on that part about after 3 days, well, even Peter doesn't seem to think that that's prize enough for having to endure what Jesus is suggesting. The point is this. When Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And the answer is what we all know to be true, that this Jesus is the one called Messiah. But the kicker is, the inevitable conclusion to that reality is not glory, fame, and fortune, but quite the opposite. And I think that has real-world implications for what the church needs to be and do in today's world. It's not just about who Jesus is. But it's about who we as followers of Jesus are, too. There's a little skit we used to do at camp. They did a version of it right here for Day Camp VBS just a couple months ago. We called it the Love Box skit. It's about having a box of love and either hoarding it or sharing it. And when the characters keep this love in the box all to themselves, the box actually shrinks. Box shrinks, and there's less and less love to have, much less share. But when the characters share the love grows. It grows larger, and when all the characters are all sharing this love together, the box grows so large that the only thing they can do is spill it out onto all of the campers watching the skit around the campfire. That's who we are. That's what the church is. If someone were to ask, what is the purpose of the church in the world? The answer should probably be something like sharing so much love that it spills out over all the people of the world. That's the definition, I think, of what church should be, what we should be, who we are. Only when the church really does that, when it loves everyone everywhere, not everyone is happy about it. Oh, it's fine when the church loves regular people. And even when the church loves other people, if only it does it quietly and without making important people too uncomfortable, then, well, that's probably okay too. Jesus isn't in trouble with the authorities for being too nice or too religious. Jesus is in trouble because he loves tax collectors and prostitutes and other sinners. And even this would be okay if this darn love didn't empower people the way it does. Empower them to stand up for their rights and demand justice and equality. But the rich and powerful people prefer to have a class of people who feel unloved, only for the false hope that can be bought. That's what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. The unloved will be loved. The poor will be empowered. The weak and insignificant will hear that the rest of the world doesn't get to answer their question, "Who do people say that I am?" Rather, God is the one who says to each and every person, "You are beautiful. You are important. Just the way I made you." Powerful forces will try and squash this way of God's love in the world. And when we point that out, there will be some, like Peter, who want to rebuke that notion. They will want to steer the church and Christians back to a road toward power and glory and away from anything controversial. But that's Satan talking. That's not the way of Jesus. Jesus' way is to the cross. And we don't want to go there any more than Peter does. But let us not fail to hear what Jesus says about dying. That dying, particularly dying for the sake of God's love for all people, also means being raised. Raised with Christ to a different kind of power, a different kind of glory. "Those who lose their life for my sake will find it," Jesus says. That is the promise inherent in what it means for us to answer Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" with the faithful truth, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And this Jesus will come with his angels and the glory of his Father, and he will repay everyone for what has been done. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen even before of us taste death. Who do people say that you are, church? What are you going to do with that box of love? Can you, too, pick up your cross and follow Jesus? Amen.